You're listening to the Here for Her podcast, a hub for her, aka you, your hosts, Natalie.
Yeah, I strongly believe that every woman should just be feeling their best, you know?
Is a proud mom of two, MBA graduate, and social media whiz, and Alex.
And we've got our wine glasses in hand. Cheers, babe.
Is also a mom of two, wellness junkie, and the creator of Honestly Alexandra. Join this energetic duo and notable guest speakers for her time, covering all women-led topics in beauty, wellness, business, and much more.
So now, and then I started my business because I realized that my voice on the Oprah show stage still worked on other stages. You know, Oprah always says, everyone has their platform and that's their talk show. You can affect someone, whether it's the slightest little thing that isn't the same as their story, but they just feel like a connection and then all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, that's why I do this or that's why I do that. And that connection is palpable. It's beautiful. And you know, I saw it. I had a front row seat to the most important stories that were told on the Oprah show. TGIF, guys.
Woo!
TGIF, and we have a cheers, virtual wine cheers.
I'm drinking my tea.
I love it.
And I've been sober. I can talk about that too. What that feels like.
Really?
Since COVID, yeah.
Okay, we're excited to dive into that.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a good leeway because we wanted to know. Last time we spoke with you, you were in quarantine because you were diagnosed with COVID.
Yeah.
How did you recover? How was that process of being in isolation for
process?
Yeah, process.
I love the little, just the little differences of our language from just how you, the pronunciations. I love it.
Why, are how we do you starting? Say it? Yeah. Let's get it.
I say it like this, process. It's process. So ugly. Process. You say it beautifully, like
process.
And then a lot of times I'm working very closely with a woman who's been helping me with my online curriculum, who's from Canada, and everything that we use a Z for, she uses an S for. Like when you spell I have to think of the word now. I can't even think of words now. But anyway, whatever. It's just prettier the way y'all say it.
That is so funny.
And I think the same about you guys. Like I feel like the accent is completely different and I love it.
Oh, no, there's nothing pretty about a Chicago accent. Although I am from Philadelphia and that's worse. So I try to just, you know, not do the flat A and the O from Philadelphia. Anyway, so you asked me a question. How am I doing?
Mm-hmm. How are you
doing? We last spoke when I was in isolation, and that feels like 100 years ago. This year has gone at a snail's pace, and usually things go so fast. And here we are, just like that feels like a lifetime ago. I am doing so much better. But I have to say, I have a lot of weird health things that keep popping up that I didn't have before. So I still have a lot of issues with my breathing and my lungs. I have like inflammation in my lungs that has gotten better, but I can't go out for a run. I used to run. I wasn't fast, but I used to run. I do a ton of walking. The good news is I gained a lot of weight during COVID because I wasn't moving like I normally would be because I am an exerciser, always have been. So I've lost my COVID weight and that's a good thing. And I'm really hoping to keep that off because the weight gain and all the inflammation that COVID gives you, it just creates more health problems. And we don't even know what will really come from this virus down the road once you've had it and what the repercussions of it will be, which is why everyone should be scared of COVID, unlike what our president said.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And what is the situation there where you're living right now in New York?
I'm in Chicago now. I'm back home.
Oh, you're in Chicago.
So yeah, last time we spoke, I was in New York, but I'm in Chicago. Everything is, you know, is basically what I think any city is going through. We've had a lot of problems here in Chicago, a lot of riots and looting. We've had beautiful, peaceful protests. I've been to some, and it's heartbreaking because you go downtown and everything's boarded up and people are losing their businesses, and it's hard, but we gotta, this is the beauty of peaceful protests. They make changes, and the change has to happen with police brutality against, you know, African-American men and women and people of color. And so that has to change. And unfortunately, sometimes the protests become violent when other people come in and get involved. So it's been hard. Everyone is doing their best, I think. And I think in Chicago, at least, everyone's wearing masks and really respecting their neighbors and their country. I think wearing a mask is just a patriotic thing to do and the right thing to do, because you're not only protecting yourself, you're protecting others. So, yeah, I kind of went off the other day, and I've actually been, I recorded a stand-up comedy because I love doing stand-up, and I haven't been doing it obviously because there's nowhere to do it. But I recorded it, and it's basically don't be a dick, wear a mask. And so
love it.
I actually just did it. Like I was pulling up to a doctor's appointment, and I was like so upset over what the president of our country had said, having just been released from the hospital and saying, you know, don't be scared of this virus. It's fine. Don't let it rule your life. And you're like, I'm like, okay, 210,000 people have died. And I'm just here to tell you that you should be scared, because I survive, which is great, but I still have health problems and continued health problems. And so just if you wear a mask, you can help reduce all of it. So I tried to get it. Oh, and I'll lead to the cocktail thing, because I started by saying to you earlier that I am sober. I've not been drinking alcohol since COVID. And because alcohol is an inflammatory, I have an autoimmune disease, which makes me susceptible already to this kind of thing. And so when COVID saw my body, it was like, yes, please, because I'm already at risk, and I already have, you know, just a reduced immune system. So I always say, like, after kind of getting through COVID, you know, I didn't really want to have a drink during COVID because I was pretty sick. But afterwards, I kind of wanted to celebrate with a nice glass of wine, but my team of doctors told me I'm not a candidate for wine, because wine makes all this inflammatory stuff worse. So I did a little stand-up comedy thing about it, because you're drinking wine right now, because it's a great, wonderful thing to share with your friends, your partner, whoever, just even yourself. And to think that I can't do that again because of all the weird things, like people don't understand, well, you had COVID, why does that mean you can't drink wine? Well, it just means that my body is still healing from this and everything is out of whack. And so my doctors are like, no alcohol for you. And so I say, if you think you can't get COVID and you don't wear a mask and you don't have an autoimmune disease, think of your next cocktail. And then maybe you'll wear a mask.
Okay. That's
a good way to put it.
That is, right? A good way to put
people's it. People's ears will perk up then.
We got to put it in terms of alcohol.
Oh my gosh. So true. I can't imagine my life without wine, but
I know it's a horrible life.
It's a horrible life. I'm curious, Sally Lou, what, do you mind sharing what your autoimmune disease is?
Oh no, no problem. I have psoriasis. I was diagnosed with psoriasis in my senior year of college. I was 21, maybe 22. I was 21, and I have psoriatic arthritis. So my joints are inflamed most of the time. You know, my little finger, look at this little baby finger, is all messed up. And I've been on every drug imaginable. And I'm on a biologic drug currently, and I've been on biologics for a long time. And so they're a little, they put you at risk. They put you at risk for infection and things like that. So I have to be really careful. But I'll tell you something, my shot that I take every month is $10,000, and it is paid for. Yeah, it is paid for. Oh, it, my insurance covers it, but with a pre-existing condition, if we don't win, if Democrats don't win, I could be in trouble because I have a pre-existing condition and that could change. So I, that really scares me, because I have never even thought about not getting that shot. And if I don't get that shot, I will feel like crap. Like I won't be able to move the way I move now, and I move and it hurts already. So I mean, I can't even imagine. So,
yeah. Oh, Sally Lou, I feel so deeply for everyone living through this, especially in the States right now.
Do you have an extra room?
Come to Canada, please.
We do. We will take you with open arms. No problem.
I have friends in Nova Scotia. I have friends in Toronto. Tell me again where you guys are. Why can't I remember?
Near Toronto.
Kitchener-Waterloo, but an hour from Toronto. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I have a come small dog. No, I'm kidding.
You pack up that suitcase. We will welcome you with open arms.
Thank you. And I might even drink wine with you.
There you go. It.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. That's crazy. Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you. It is a nation that feels very divided. And it's
it is unfortunate because we don't, you know, the average person who doesn't have these health concerns, they don't see it and they can't put it into perspective, because whereas yourself, you have an autoimmune disorder, and like a lot of people have, you know, they're autoimmune compromised, and we hear that, but we don't really like hear it, you know, it's hard to like understand and fathom what that's like if you're not experiencing it. So I think that like putting that in perspective and all of the other factors like the health benefits, and you know, if the Democrats don't win, like this is problematic. So it's just so hard to think about. Don't really think about it.
It's a lot. And I will say that over the last decade, since I've been in my 50s, I almost don't have friends that don't have an autoimmune disease, mostly women. The majority of my female friends have an autoimmune disease, which I don't know if that's environment or age or whatever. I mean, they seem to be on the rise, but I mean, just watch television. It's commercials for every drug you can imagine to, you know, whatever. So it is very scary because the treatment for autoimmune diseases is very expensive. And I've been very, very privileged to have had that covered with my very good health insurance. So anyway, you guys have it right in Canada. Yeah. That's all I know.
I know.
No one gets turned away.
We're blessed in Canada for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So while you were in isolation, did you learn any new skills? What did you do?
Yes, I did. I went viral on TikTok.
Shut up.
Sally Lou.
Yeah. I did.
No way.
I taught myself TikTok. I don't know how to do it anymore because I'm not doing it. So once it's, you know, muscle memory, it's gone. I jokingly said I went into isolation a midlifer and I came out a millennial because I taught myself TikTok. I also got more versed with Zoom and with my YouTube page I redid and my, you know, just like all the technical stuff. So there is a show called Schitt's Creek. Ever heard of it?
Yes.
Of course you have. This the Canadian wonder boy of Dan Levy. And so the actress who plays Moira Rose, who is Catherine O'Hara, another Canadian, I've always been told that I look like her. And even when she did Home Alone.
Yeah.
In 1990. And so.
Ooh, yes.
My family got me out of isolation outside because we had to do a birthday message for my sister. And so I was standing far away and they were behind me. It kind of looked like an album cover. And I don't know what, but I just like went into Moira. And they were laughing so hard. And I posted it on TikTok and I got like 65,000 views.
So are you looking? We're creeping your TikTok right now. Yeah. We're creeping it.
And yeah. Okay. Okay. It's the one.
This one?
No. Yes. That one. That one.
We'll have to watch it after.
We'll watch it later.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, you totally do look like her.
Sometimes I just, and I don't know, I can't do it right now, but I just go into, John, like, I don't know. It's like, it's in the jaw. I definitely don't have her accent. Who can do that? But yeah, in that TikTok, I sort of nailed it. I don't know.
Oh, that's awesome. So you learned TikTok.
And Halloween's coming up, so I will definitely be Moira Rose again. I was last year. You'll see that on TikTok too. So anyway.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, fun. So you got to pull out, the good things, right? Like everyone is.
Well, I will say that when I moved into my sister's yoga room, because I was isolating at we were sheltering at my sister's house. She was at her other home with her family. We were in New Jersey. We live in Chicago. We were getting our girls out of New York City. We thought we'd be there a week. We were there 7. And the place for me to isolate was my sister's yoga room, which is a beautiful space, but separate from the house. So when I went into isolation, I was very sick, but I treated it like, okay, this is going to be me time. I'm going to rest. I'm going to read. I'm going to meditate. And I don't know, I kind of just made it my house for the 18 days. And it was really, it was horrible at night. I was terrified because COVID gets really bad at night and I couldn't sleep and I was separate from the house. So it's not like my husband was in the next room. He was in the next house. And they, of course, stayed in touch with me by phone and by text. But I was up most of the night. I was like, you know, trolling Instagram because I had nothing else to do. I was listening to Ben Platt sing because I love him. And you might know him too. DJ D-Nice, who would have these quarantine parties, basically. I can't remember what he was calling it, but he was just DJ music and I would be on it all night and I would like see friends posting on, it almost felt like we were in the room. I couldn't sleep. So I was looking for anything to do. I would just like pray for the night to just go fast. It was really, it was scary. It felt like I had an elephant on my chest.
Well, I remember you telling us all of this. Like I vividly remember your story because I personally don't know anyone who has experienced COVID firsthand.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think because even, you know, where we live, the numbers are rising. I mean, eventually it's going to happen and that we're going in our circle, we're going to have at least one person affected. But I remember you were the first person and I thought, oh my God, I mean, your story moved us so deeply. I'm so glad, Sally Lou, that you're helping. Look amazing. And
thank
your recovery overall has been really positive.
You have to see my shoes that I'm wearing.
Show me. Okay. I've seen these all over your Instagram and I love them.
Aren't they cute? Okay, so they're my birdies.
Yeah, she's holding a birdie. It says vote on them. V-O on one foot. on the
you
other.
Are so cute.
I love them.
I think we should step back for a minute because for those new listeners, I mean, pretty much everyone that follows us knows who you are, but for the new listeners, can you give us like a little spiel on who Sally Lou Loveman is?
Oh, sure. I am, living my best life. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So I am 58 years old and I am in Chicago.
Looks not older than a day than 40. Just so
you're so
the
sweet.
Listeners know.
You're so sweet. Sure. I knew I wanted to work in TV when I was 14 and saw a girl on the set with a clipboard at this local station where a national talk show was being produced. That was that. I was like, yep, I want to do that. And that ticket to that show was really, and I still have it, was really my ticket to my career with Oprah. So I worked for Oprah, began in 1987, ended in 2014, although I did take a chunk of time off there to raise my kids but freelanced. So I was always a part of the show for the whole time except for the first year, which is funny because I interviewed for the job the first year it went national, didn't get it, and then got it the year later. they called me. I didn't apply the second year, but they called me. They remembered me. So I have loved working in television for 36 years. This is the first year that I'm not working in TV. I usually get freelance jobs to, you know, work on pilots or startup shows, things like that. And I'm kind of, I was really kind of sad for a while, but I'm kind of like really enjoying it because I love that I get to create my own content at my own pace and do what I want and not have to be hustling in New York out in Times Square, grabbing people to come off the street to get into a studio, which is what I do when desperate times call for desperate measures. So I'm an audience producer. I book audiences for television talk shows and make them excited and look good and feel connected to whatever brand the show I'm working for. And that brand of Oprah was, you know, that was it for me. It was pretty awesome. So I've had a lot of great experiences and so many stories. So that's when I wrote a book, because I wanted to share my stories. And I really believe that our story is our superpower. We all have a story. And when we share a story with others and it lands on people's hearts, that's where you see your superpower, because the slightest little thing, it isn't the same as their story, but they just feel like a connection, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, that's why I do this, or that's why I do that. And that connection is palpable. It's beautiful. And, you know, I saw it. I had a front row seat to the most important stories that were told on the Oprah show. I was in the studio for most of them. And I watched brave people go on and tell their story, and then the audience leave with more compassionate hearts. So that's really how I was raised, and it was also how I was trained. And so with my business that I launched when I left Harpo in 2014, I'm still in the 1900s, in 2014, I swear, I always, when I go to say a year, I'm like 19. Oh no.
Well, we wish we could go back to that year though. At this point in time. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
It doesn't sound bad at all.
It is really true. I always tell my kids that they missed the 80s and they would have loved it. Oh, they were so good. You probably did too. I can't do the math, but I'm sure you've missed the 80s. Yeah. So now, and then I started my business because I realized that my voice on the Oprah show stage still worked on other stages. And so I use my voice, my story to engage audiences, and to remind people how important their story is. And so I do, you know, keynotes, I do my podcast like you guys do. And, you know, Oprah always says, everyone has their platform and that's their talk show. So that's what we're doing. That's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing. You had a post, I was on your Instagram before, and I saw about the sisterhood, and there's nothing more beautiful than that. And think about how, like for me, I never went outside of the walls of Harpo Studios when I worked there because I didn't have to. And everything I needed was there. I never networked. I never met new people. I met new people that came to the show. I had all my friends that worked there. I had all my friends that I had met in college and through my kids. But I never met like new entrepreneurial, interesting, creative women. And now with my business and my podcast and my book, I'm meeting all these incredible women that to me is a sisterhood. And it's so cool. It's like the magnet just attracts goodness like you guys. So I'm sure you understand, because as you're building what you're doing, you feel the same way, and you celebrated that with was that an event that you did, or was it just a
yeah.
picture? What did you guys do?
So we actually, we've had two Here for Her podcast events where we've had over 100, you know, local women come out to hear guest speakers on different topics. So it's kind of like, you know, listening to our podcast, but having it live. In real life and live. And we put together the most beautiful goodie bags full of our favorite brand products. And we had speakers on, you know, sex and relationships and personal development and a whole slew of, you know, women in business, like just so much beautiful energy in the space. And these women came together. I miss them. And so we had two, and then COVID hit, or else we would have kind of kept up with them every 3 or 4 months because
yeah,
had such a great success.
It's like a feel good experience for women to come out and just
so good.
Be inspired, just grow off of everyone's vibe. It's just such a good time.
I miss those. I had coffee with a friend today who runs an incredible business, and she said to me, I miss your launch party. And I was like, oh my God, so do I. And the reason why she said that was it was a book launch party I had in Chicago. She said everyone in the room was someone I wanted to talk to. And I'm like, I know. It was just so, when you have a group of heart-centered professionals and like-minded people who are all very different. We say like-minded and it sounds exclusive, but like-minded in the way that is I want to help you. I'm doing my thing, but how can I help you? And it's just that to me is that is how we grow and that is how we succeed. And to me, there's nothing better than when women support women. So.
Oh, it's so true. Absolutely. It's so powerful. And going back to Harpo and working on Oprah, I'm so curious because I know that we asked you a question last time about one life lesson that Oprah has taught you, but I want to pivot a little bit and ask you, because you had countless guests on that show who came from all walks of life with kind of different messages, different stories. What is one kind of life lesson that you took from all of those guests? Is there one thing that stood out to you, a message that resonated so deeply that you carry with you now?
Well, I mean, there's no guest that got to my heart more than Matty Stepanek. And he was a little boy who was an angel on earth, and he lost his life early. And he and Oprah had the most beautiful relationship. And I unfortunately cannot remember his disease. Please pull it up for me.
Yeah.
Matty Stepanek.
I was just Googling it.
Yeah. I need a producer. And, he just spoke like an angel was speaking through his mouth and his heart. And he, his mom brought him all the time, and he was just really, a pure heart. And he knew he wasn't going to be here for long. And he basically reminded us all that this is the moment. Don't wait and love people, love one another, and all of it. I mean, he was just a blessing to have ever been in the same room with, let alone know. So Matty Stepanek for sure. But I think overall, it was always fun when the celebrities were there. Of course, it was so much fun, but it was the brave people like us who stood on that stage and told their stories about, really hard topics like debt and depression and divorce and adultery and all of these things that we are shameful to speak of. Mm-hmm. But when that story gets told and someone watches and says, I'm not alone now because that person feels exactly the way I feel or similar or some piece of it. That's the stuff. I mean, I'll never forget a couple again. I'm sorry. I don't remember the names. I should. Who came on and lost 3 children in a car accident.
Oh my gosh. Is that the story? Because there was a story on Oprah. And it was the limousine. I vividly remember this. I don't know if they were coming from a wedding and the limo was hit. And don't mean to be graphic. We should put a warning here to our audience that it is quite graphic from what I remember. One of the children's head.
Oh, see, I don't know. I remember a minivan, but it could have been a limousine. And this is my brain because I but here's what I do remember. I remember, and then they had more children, but I remember my heart, literally, I could not even swallow. It was in my throat. Like I had to be professional, and I was in the studio while they were doing their walk on to stage, and I knew their story, and I fell apart. Like most times I was backstage just sobbing my eyes out, and it just, the resilience of this couple, like they can still be on this earth and put one foot in front of the other and still love each other properly and still move on. It just resilience, it was just phenomenal. And then of course the mother, who of course can't remember her name. This is so bad. I should have really done my research. I needed this answer, this question ahead of time.
But how do you remember?
Erin's her name. And she recorded messages for her daughter because she knew she was dying. And that was years ago. That was early on in the show. And it was absolutely.
We had a similar story happen a few years ago, actually. I would say outside of Mississauga, there was, it was horrible. This couple, they had three kids, both killed in a car accident. And also one of the grandparents was in the vehicle as well.
Their three children were killed, right?
Three children killed and the grandparent. Like it was one of the mom or dad.
Did they have any other kids? I don't think so.
No, like all three of them. Like, and you
but
just,
you wonder, you wonder, and this is a question. How do you proceed in life? And I think that this is like massively traumatic example, right? That we're providing and you're providing, right. But right. For people that are going through trauma in their life, how does one kind of step outside of that and move forward and find happiness again?
You can't do it alone. That is for sure.
Yeah.
You absolutely cannot do it alone. You need a support system. And whether that's your partner or a support group, someone who can stand in your shoes, people who understand, because you can have all the best friends in the world, but sometimes they're not the people to really, they're not, I'm not saying that they don't help. I'm just saying they're not the right people to really feel safe with because they don't understand. But someone who's gone through it and can understand the story is key and essential to healing. And of course, two more things, faith, of course, always helps. And the second, which is something I totally believe in, is that when you use your story in service to others, that's when you begin to heal. I'll never forget, I kind of get really weepy. This makes me so sad. I was in the blow dry bar on a Sunday in New York City. And I was getting my hair blown dry because I was going to be on the Today Show the next day. It was January before COVID. This was a big day for me. I was really excited. I'm like, I'm in New York and I'm with a friend. And all of a sudden in my family text, we get a text that says Kobe Bryant died. I was like, what? And so the day unfolds and we understand that Kobe has died. His daughter has died. Her friends have died. Their parents have died. And it's tragedy. I cried the entire day. Next day, I get to the set. I've worked at the Today Show, so I know all these people. I'm crying in the makeup chair. I'm thinking to myself, why would anyone want to hear about my book right now? And then I snapped into it and went into my Oprah show mode. Like, I'm going to use this as a way to get to the people who are really hurting right now. And the topic for my booking was, you know, how to not be scared to speak. But I just kept Vanessa Bryant in my head and trying to say, you know, your story is yours to own and is yours to help others. And so my prayer at that time and continues to be is that one day Vanessa Bryant will use her story of loss and sadness to help someone else get through, you know, could be a stranger, probably will be, get through their sadness. And so when you're in service with your story to others, that's when you heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when you put in that perspective, it makes it, it
there's adds purpose.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Purpose. Yeah. And I think purpose. Everyone is looking for that in life, right? Like everyone steps back and I think we've all questioned ourselves over the years of like, what is my purpose for being on this planet?
Yeah.
And I think that it's like you said, in those trying times is sometimes when you find that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It usually is. It usually is.
And you mentioned a few times about faith and like your spiritual well-being. Like, what does that look like for you? I'm really curious because I'm always like looking for new ways to incorporate that into my own life. And well, I'm sure yours are too.
Yeah, I would be lost without faith. I really wanted to, I really wanted the title of my book to be Faith is Cheaper Than Botox. And it's just a chapter. I know it's a chapter. Well, you know, I just, you know, my 50th decade has been a very difficult one for me. And so, I have always had faith. I would guess my faith came to me boldly when I was 16 and in a very small plane that should not have landed. We were in a very bad storm. And I just remember starting to chant, like we lost instruments. Like we should not have survived. We had an emergency landing. Anyway, I was with my dad and my best friend. It's a whole other story. I write about it in my book. But anyway, I started chanting and I was 16. I didn't know what chant, I didn't know what om was, you know, but I was making this noise in my throat and it soothed me. And it was God. It was like God was, I was like channeling some spirit. I don't even know. My best friend Betsy was screaming at the top of her lungs and I was chanting. And you know what? That pretty much is the way we still are today. So she, you know, but I really got off that plane and I'm like, I'm walking with God. Like that was it for me. So I'm Christian. I go to church. I pray. I believe that faith will always take us further than not having faith, you know. It just, to me, it's a comfort. My husband is Jewish and our children are Jewish. We raised them Jewish, although they definitely believe that they are both Christian and Jewish, but they were schooled in Judaism and they were bar and bat mitzvahed. So that is their faith. And I love the Jewish faith. I love it so much. I like any faith. So my husband and I go to temple, we go to church. We need faith. Like we've had some trying times. So for us, we welcome it and it really helps. We have really nice relationships with both our minister and our rabbi. And we laugh because we always call, when we're with our church friends, we're like church people, like they're all new to us. They're not anyone. They're not people we knew before, you know, all ages and different. And they're just really good, lovely people that have added so much dimension into our life. And we've been able to do a lot of service through our church and through our temple. And that always feels really good. It just does, mm-hmm. you know, especially as our kids are out of the house now, you know, so we have to, you know, I mean, there's only so much love I can give my dog. Yeah. So it's like, you gotta make your, in fact, my new role is I'm a confirmation mentor to the 7th grade confirmation class this year at Christ Church, my church. And I'm laughing because I'm like, I really don't know much. I know about praying and I know about Jesus, but I don't know anything about, you know, the Bible. Like I can't recite things. So I'm excited because I guarantee you I'm going to learn a lot more than they're going to learn from me. So
that's fun though. I feel like I would love to get into more specifics because I mean, I was also raised Christian but I feel like you fall off of it a bit and it's like, how do you consistently like keep that as a priority in your life? It just like,
even just spirituality in general, where like, you know, sometimes you say, okay, I'm going to dedicate, you know, 20 minutes every day to meditate right. and then life gets away from you or, right, okay, yeah. I'm going to start going to church again and life gets away from you. Like how do you make that a priority?
We wanted to quickly pop in and share our love for WeCook meals, which we have been loving. I know Alex and I have been sharing these in our stories the past week, but we really wanted to share with you how convenient they are, healthy. It's a Canadian subscription box, and we have a code for you,
which is HFH60. But guys, you know I'm a little bit of a health freak, but I also am a foodie. And I'm telling you that if you order this box, you will love it. Slide into our DMs and let us know. I love it because it's just so convenient for those dance nights, the nights when we are on the go and I don't have time to prepare a meal for the family. Also, quick and easy lunches.
And they taste good.
They taste amazing.
So good. Make sure you hit up wecookmeals.ca to check it out. That's wecookmeals.ca with promo code HFH60 for $60 off, $40 off your first box, and $20 off your second box. Enjoy!
Well, I am a meditator. I do skip days here and there, which I feel it when I do. So that's a good thing because it reminds me I need to do it again tomorrow. I really think that faith is with you no matter what. You don't have to practice. You don't have to go to church to be faithful or spiritual. But I will say something, and that is that, you know, life is, you know, each decade is different. And you guys are in the decade of being really young and having young kids and not having real time for yourself. And as you get older, you have more time, and you problems, if there are problems, they're going to happen midlife. Like, that's just the way it is. And so for me, I really needed to step up my faith. I needed church. And I found that it really helped. And by going to church with my husband, it really became a way for us to just really mark the time as this is our time. And every time we hear the sermon, it's like, is he living with us? Like, oh my gosh. Like, you just take away, which is really story. It's story is your superpower. It's like every lesson that is told, you know, we can take a piece from and learn and incorporate it into our own life. And I think one of the things in Christianity is on Sunday, it's like you can start over Sunday. And that's what our minister says, Sunday's coming. It's like, oh, okay. Well, guess what? We can forgive ourselves. We can start over a better week. You know, it's obviously a metaphor for life, but on Sunday, when you take a moment to like pause, it's also a pause to say, okay, I'm going to learn from whatever happened this week that didn't work or I didn't like, or I feel bad that I did, and I'm going to do it better this week. Cause we're just always just trying to, you know, grow and evolve. And that's a lesson that I for sure learned from Oprah, that, you know, we need to be more forgiving of ourselves and learn to just grow and not have any kind of shame or guilt or regret.
And I want to touch on that a little bit more, because I know that you've said this, you know, the period in your 50s, was it?
Yeah.
Has been really challenging in many respects for you.
Yeah.
Are you open to sharing a little bit more of what that means?
Sure. I have no boundaries. That's my problem.
I love that. No, we're like that too. This is here for her.
This is how we learn, right?
Yeah.
From each other?
This is how we learn. No, I don't have boundaries. Do you want to ask me a question, or do you want to just
hear your story, hear what it's kind of, how it's unraveled for you and what's happened.
Well, you know, I had this really great career. And I am an extrovert, and I kind of got sidetracked from, being a really good partner, with my husband. And I, you know, I was like, every day I went to work and I got accolades and everybody told me, we love you and you're great and blah, blah, blah. And I loved my work. I was in my purpose. I mean, I was helping to change people's lives every day. It was the most gratifying feeling ever. And, you know, there were signs that my husband was like not as happy as he could have been. And, you know, for me, I'm like, whatever. And that happens with couples. You know, you just think, oh, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. and it wasn't fine. And we ran into some trouble, and, you know, there was a betrayal, and I woke up, and I mean, the whole time I knew it, I have a sixth sense, as most women have. And when we finally was revealed, we separated, and it was really difficult. It was awful. I never thought I'd be separated from him. He's my best friend. We have family that, you know, support us and love us, and really just close relationships with friends, and everyone was rooting for us. And they're like, what? You know, like I say, it wasn't supposed to happen to me or him, but it did. And maybe that is why. So, you know, it hasn't been smooth sailing, but it has been healing. And we've had other bumps along the way, not at all like that bump, but bumps for things that I realize, and we're in therapy, holistic therapy. Our team is incredible. We do a lot of energy healing. We do a lot of meditating. We do a lot of walking. We do a lot together, and we're healing. Most marriages don't survive that. It's hard. There are triggers for me every day of my life that I can't turn off, but I've learned how to cope with them. And we have a very, our relationship is built on trust, because without trust, you can't have an intimate relationship. That trust was broken. That trust has returned, but it returned with a tremendous amount of work. And I'll just share this little piece, which I really can't go into because it's not my story. But when something happened more recently, and I was like, we are scratching the surface here, even though we have a great team of therapists. And I got my husband much deeper help, and he came and through that, through someone's story in the program that he was in, he learned something about himself, and it opened up everybody's eyes, like mine and his, like, oh, that's why. Okay, we got to fix that. So he had something happen to him that was very, very painful that he had never told a soul. And so now, with knowing that, once he was able to forget it while he was making money and, you know, successful, and we were young and we had kids and we were busy, but then like midlife happens and men and women go through some shit, right? Mm-hmm. So he was going through some shit alone, and making bad choices. And now, you know, he's in a lot of different programs and he does a lot of work. I'm really proud of him. There's still a lot of pain that we have to face every day. His pain when he sees me in pain is real. I would say worked harder than most couples would. I don't want to compare that because I don't know, but I'm just saying that I wouldn't have asked for this journey. But in the end, I'm really proud that we're still together and love each other madly.
Mm-hmm. It's such a vulnerable story. And I think it's so true. Even any relationship is so much work, right? Especially when you add two strong-minded, career-driven, passionate people.
Well, it was all about me. So I realized that he felt like he wasn't being seen, but I think it was more than that. I think it was more the pain that he was carrying around. And now we've named the pain. We get it. We've cleared it. It's like the bad juju feeling is gone, and now we can just heal. And I have said to him, when you are able to tell your story and change someone else's life and help them, you will be cured. You will be like, oh, yeah, I feel so good. Yeah. But I, you know, when this all happened, you know, I was definitely in the fetal position for a long time, but then when I broke out of my fetal position, the first thing I did was I sold my Lollapalooza tickets, which is a concert in Chicago that may never happen again. It's like every teenager goes, and you know, it's like a 4-day incredible concert in Grant Park in Chicago. And I was like, I'm going to Lollapalooza. So I bought tickets. Well, then this happened. I'm like, I'm not going to Lollapalooza. I sold my tickets because they're expensive, and I got Botox. It wasn't the first time I got Botox, but it was. I definitely wasn't a regular Botox person. And I was 51, and I sat in the Botox chair with a doctor I'd never met before. I love her so much, Lori Cobbins. And I made her laugh so hard. She's like, why are you here? I'm like, you have no idea. And I'm like, but I can't keep doing this. And like, it's not going to fill the holes. Like, yeah, it might make me look a little younger for a moment, but it's not going to fill the holes, which is why I went to church. But I, you know, I still, trust me, I still get Botox. But
it's okay. But we like, do.
Yeah. But it's like faith is cheaper than Botox because it was faith that we needed. And my husband was not very faithful. He loves his culture of being Jewish and the traditions, but in terms of like having that faith, like being connected to a higher source, whatever you describe as source, he's really explored that more deeply, and that has been very helpful for our recovery. Very helpful. Mm-hmm.
I love your honesty and vulnerability, because I think that so many women and men can relate to it. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, I did my, like I said, the book that I wanted to write was Faith is Cheaper Than Botox. I wrote that book. I have the manuscript somewhere, I don't know, in my computer. And it was really about our marriage and our healing. And I couldn't publish that book because it would be a bestseller. I would probably not have to work another day in my life because if I told it the way I really wanted to tell it, it's a page turner, but I have children and I'm a mother first, and I don't care if my kids are 4 or 40, that's not going to happen. So I reduced it and I included it in my book, to the part that I felt like I could tell that and everybody signed off on it. Not always happily, but my husband was like totally supportive and said, whatever you want. But I was more